This is Dr. Stan back here for the second hour of Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And of course, I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there and you have any question or comment, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I'm sorry I couldn't get any calls for the last program, but what Mr. Pritchard was saying was so fascinating. And let me tell you, if you read the complete sequence of his conversation with Andreas Strassmayer, it is just devastating to realize that Strassmayer is in effect saying, look, it was all a mistake. Nobody was supposed to die, and yet, of course, maybe Andreas did not understand the full implications, because it's obvious that there were bombs placed around the pillars there at the Oklahoma City Federal Building, at the Murrah Building, and somebody had put those pillars there, and it wasn't Timothy McVeigh. Well, right now, of course, we have on the line one of our favorite guests. Her name is Karen Holgate. Karen, how are you doing?
Just fine.
Are you all set here for an exciting hour?
I sure am. I look forward to it.
Well, you know, I was reading an article. It was in the front page of the Washington Times, and it was talking about education, and it said that they have something called the new math, and somebody had was really very, very concerned. Their child had come home with the math questionnaire, and it went like this. There are four birds in a nest, and one bird flies away from the nest. Now, this is a mathematics quiz. How do you think that the bird who flew away from the nest felt? And of course, when the parent saw this, he went to the school board member and said, what does this have to do with mathematics? I mean, who cares how the bird who flew out of the nest felt? We're supposed to be teaching that 4 minus 1 is 3. And the school board member said something, well, you know, that's the old way we used to teach math, but now we try to make people feel good about themselves. We certainly don't hold them to, 4 minus 1 is 3, because there are various answers that anybody could give, and some people would feel it would be 2, and some people would feel it would be 5, and we don't want to interfere with their psyches.
That's right. Heaven forbid that we should force any answer on anybody, right?
This whole thing is so incredible, and yet the American people are allowing it. And it basically is an attack on our children. It is an effort to undermine their ability to concentrate, to think, to develop their minds, because minds have a certain time when all the little neurons come together and these ideas are put in there. It's like, you know, when you get to be older, you can't learn a language, but you can pick up all sorts of languages when you're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. In fact, I'll never forget when I was serving in Germany, and one of my friends always used to say, these German kids are all so smart because they can all speak German. And, of course, but then in Germany, many of them spoke 3 or 4 languages, but they learned them young. And, of course, the same thing with mathematics. We deprive our children of the ability to read and write and add and subtract when they're young. It's going to be almost impossible to pick it up at a later age. Our children are under attack today. Why don't you pick it up from there, Karen?
Well, you know, it's just so people don't think that question you just read is so unusual. I'm sitting here looking at an actual test question from our old class tests. Remember those?
Right.
And this came from a senator's office, and I'm going to read you the question, and then I'll give you the right answer. A forest fire has destroyed 3,000 trees. To prevent erosion, new trees must be planted. Students from your school want to help replant the trees. Now, this is a math question, remember. Each student is given 2 trees to plant. On the first day of replanting, one student plants both his trees in the forest. On the second day, 2 students plant their trees. On the third day, 4 students plant their trees, and so on. How many days will it take to replant the forest on this schedule? Explain your plan to the principal so that you can convince her to help get students involved in replanting the forest. Now, the correct answer was 10.5, but a student who answered 450 was graded higher on the test than the student who answered correctly. The reason was because as the critics have been saying all along on the class test, that we put a lower value on the right answers and a higher value on the process, even when it's bad.
Right.
And that's the kinds of questions that we had on the class test, and that's exactly what you just read then. It's more important to give the politically correct answer with the environment or whatever than it is to know math.
Somebody once said that, you know, if a foreign enemy came to America with an effort to destroy the educational system in our country, we would consider it an act of war. Well, I personally think that a foreign enemy, people who have a different world vision and have no allegiance to this country, are in charge of the educational establishment across America today. Would you agree or disagree?
I agree, and I've got to tell you, I just came back from a speaking tour in on the East Coast, and I was in West Virginia, and I was talking about the German model and how School to Work was modeled after it. And this woman in the audience raises her hand, and she and I spoke for a long time afterwards. She's German. And she said, Karen, please make sure you tell people that the East German model is the one you guys are copying, it, but even you have it wrong because we aren't doing it as badly as you're doing it here. And she said, in Germany, she said, America is not liked at all in Germany. And she said, they are thrilled to death to see you guys following this pathway because they know that your standard of living is going to be reduced by doing this, and they are just jumping up and down with glee.
Well, I think everybody in the world hates America because of our policies, many times, whether it's population control or, you know, forcing governments to go along with our agenda. But, of course, I love this country. This is the greatest country in the world. It's just that the people who gain control of the government are the wicked ones who are
right.
bringing all this suffering to so many countries throughout the world. But the fact that we're not involved in doing something puts the responsibility upon each and every one of us because, as we've said so often, men and women become accomplices to those evils they fail to oppose. And we have an obligation to be involved, and we have an obligation to try to stop these things. And, you know, it's one thing what happens in another country, but to destroy the youth of our nation, and they're doing it intentionally and purposely and knowingly. This is not that they don't know what's going to happen. They know, and that's really what Hillary and Bill and this whole menagerie of people who really control education are all about.
Well, you know, I try to explain people because I'm often asked, how can I oppose something called School to Work? Because the name sounds great. You know, I think we all want our children to go to school, learn and become educated, and then go get a job, hopefully so we don't have to support them forever, right? Makes sense to me. But the problem isn't with the name of the program. The problem is the program, which is a formula for failure, not just for our children, but for our families and for our nation. I think people need to understand that this whole school reform and the national testing falls right in line with it, is that there are those people who believe in a government-controlled and planned economy. They believe in government control of education because they need to control what the children are taught so they can be trained to fit into the economy. And then they need to have government-dictated values, beliefs, and behaviors so that we will accept their change for us. And then on the other hand are those of us who believe that our founding fathers had it right, that a free market economy is the way to base this country. We believe that teachers and administrators at the local level can best deal with the children, and we believe in a God-given right of parents to shape the attitudes, values, and beliefs of their own children. And well, that's basically what the argument is between these two plans.
Those are the battle lines. That's where they are. The trouble is that most of the parents don't even know there's a battle going on.
That, you know, that is what is so sad. It's, I don't know if it's apathy or if it's people who just have become so complacent that we live in America, and America is the land of the free and the brave and what have you. What they don't understand is the laws are being changed to take those freedoms away from us.
And if they can gain control of the mind of one generation of our children, then they will control the future course of our nation.
Exactly. And they have to remember that this whole school reform movement is a method to a whole new governance system. And they very proudly proclaim that. that they believe we need to be governed in a different way than we are now. And you started off reading a math question. People need to understand what's going on with this national testing debate. I am very concerned because where that legislation stands right now, we didn't really get a victory. They haven't voted on it. The test won't move rapidly ahead for next year, but they didn't kill the national testing.
But you see, even if the Congress refuses to vote for it, they'll go ahead and implement it anyway. I mean, they have an agenda. They'll find some other means. Certainly, the Senate never went ahead and ratified biodiversity treaty, but it's being implemented. The Senate never ratified the Beijing conference that they had really dealing with women's rights and population control, but they're implementing all of these things. They have their own agenda, and it doesn't matter. If the Senate goes along with it, fine. If they don't go along with it, that's all right, too, because they know what they want. And, of course, they'll find some means of getting these national standards introduced and accepted at the local level.
Well, what people need to understand is what you're saying is exactly right, because Richard Riley... Any national thing like that, a national test or anything that they do at a federal level, is supposed to be approved by Congress. Richard Riley, on his own, allocated $13 million to come up with just the draft copy of the reading and math test. On his own, just with no congressional approval or anything.
Now, these are the national standards you're speaking of.
This is the national test that they tried to pass.
Now, have we seen the national test? Do we know what's in it?
No. But I'm going to tell you what we're real concerned about is there's a man, you know, they keep telling us that it's this high academic and it's going to raise our standards and it's going to do all this wonderful thing and we need to have them in order to do that.
And I didn't inhale, too. We've heard all of those things.
Yeah, right. Well, let me tell you, there was a man by the name of... let's see, what is his first name? His name is Stephen Leinwand, L-E-I-N-W-A-N-D. Now, this man sits on the committee who is overseeing President Clinton's new mathematics test. He wrote an essay in which he actually said it's downright dangerous to teach students things like 6 times 7 is 42, put down 2 and carry the 4. He said that memorization of multiplication facts is cruel and unusual punishment. Now, this is a man who's designing these wonderful math tests that we spent $13 million for.
Well, if you want dumb kids, why, you could certainly get them. And if you begin then to align your teaching so that the kids can pass the test, they'll be able to pass the test, but will they be really young men and women who can excel, or will they simply be part of the drones working in the new beehive that is being designed by our invisible rulers?
Well, you know, this man is just incredible. He actually has said that we need to avoid directly assessing certain knowledge and skills such as whole number computation. He sits on a committee that recommended that every student should be armed with a calculator throughout this national exam, like they have done now, you know, with the SAT test.
That's so you don't use your brain.
That's right. You use the calculator, so we don't need to compute, you see, because we have this calculator that can do that. And then you're going to love this because you and your foundations, you're going to love this part. He is a consultant for the consultant for the Connecticut Department of Education, and he sits on a board of a $10 million National Science Foundation math program, and get this, he advises the standard-setting project that's funded by the Pew and MacArthur Foundation.
Oh, it just warms your heart to know that they're out there spending that money, as foundations traditionally have, to undermine the fabric of our society.
That's right, and this is the man who is playing a major part in drafting the national test to give our children. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to have the president get up and say that we're going to raise national standards. You know, he laid the groundwork for this back in February when he was giving the State of the Union, and he stood up and he made some kind of remark where he said that reading is reading and math is math, and yet we know that that's not true, at least not to them, because reading can be either whole language reading or it can be phonics reading. Math can be either the new fuzzy stuff like we've just been talking about, or it can be real math.
But you see, Karen, they use words to conceal what they really intend. And Bill Clinton can get up and talk about a return to family values, but what is he speaking about? I mean, what does he mean? This is a Sapien language that has a separate meaning for those who have this different world vision. And when he talks about, reading is reading and math is math, as you say, what does he really mean? Because if he were to tell the American people what really lies ahead for them, many of them would be shocked and would, rise up in terror and rise up in righteous indignation and say, why, this is treason. But, of course, he's not going to tell what they mean. He's going to use these terms. And when the press and the media never challenge what he means, and certainly, if they don't, how is the average individual going to have any glimpse of what the truth is?
Well, they're not. And that's, that's why shows like yours and others are so important, so that people can hear the truth. And even if they question us, if they hear it and they say, that can't be happening, at least if we can motivate them to go into the classroom and start looking at the material their children are learning. And I have been telling parents, don't look at the material your son or daughter brings home. Go into the classroom. Ask to see the teacher's teaching materials. I mean the books, any supplementals that they teach from, any surveys, any questionnaires. Ask to see a list of guest speakers if they're going to have them, because that's the only way that you're going to find out what is really being taught to your children. Because I have sat on too many task force in the last couple of years where I've been asked to review curriculum. And when you look at the supplementals, it's absolutely horrifying the types of things that they are not telling parents they're teaching them, even when they send home a permission slip.
Sure. Well, I think it's just amazing the amount of time and effort you put in to try to get this information out. Where do we stand now with the national standards? What's going to happen, do you think?
Well, what happened on the test, and people need to realize that these national tests are extremely important, because they have even admitted that once you start giving a test, the curriculum shifts to accommodate that test. Otherwise, the children aren't going to perform well on the tests. So they want these tests because they want to shift the curriculum to deal with their thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. I mean, Mr. Lean Wan just said they don't care about, math, obviously. So where it stands right now on the test is that they didn't get the full funding that they were supposed to do. The Goodling and some of the others were not able to completely prohibit the national test in this year's appropriations bill. So what is happening right now is that they're going to continue working on the test questions, and then it will be, in other words, they won't become available next year, but they may still come available in 1999. Congressman Goodling has said that he will introduce a bill next year that would prohibit any federal funding for national tests in any appropriations bill.
No, Congressman Goodling then is a good guy.
Well,
at least is he on our side on this or not?
He's on our side on this. Remember, Goodling is the one who wrote the Careers Act.
Right.
So, but when you can agree with him, great, agree with him. And on this issue, as long as he holds a firm line, then I'm fine. But I don't trust him or many of the others.
All right, how about Senator Ashcraft, who said that he would, he would actually go ahead and filibuster this?
Well, this was the compromise they came up with, because you've got to remember politics plays a real big thing.
No, principles should play everything, and forget about politics, but go ahead.
Right. So what has happened is, because Clinton said if he didn't get what he wanted, he would veto the bill, which would, of course, throw us back into this whole big thing where we wouldn't have funding for all these programs. And, of course, he's so clever with the press, he would make it look like it's all the Republicans, and next year is an election year. So they don't want to do that. So what they did is they held the line enough that the tests won't move fast for the next year, and they'll deal with it next year. That's basically all we've gained.
Well, at least we've got time. Now, I know you're going across America trying to awaken people. What sort of response are you getting as you talk to people about this? Do they look at you and say, oh, these things can't really be happening, Karen? You're a fearmonger.
Well, it was really interesting. I was up in Ohio speaking, and there is a man there by the name of Steve Ray, who has been suing the state of Ohio for 3 years to try to see his daughter's ninth grade proficiency exam. Now, when Steve called me 3 years ago, I was not clued in enough to the term proficiency exam, because to me that always meant academics. So finally I said, Steve, can you get a hold of the scoring rubric so I can see what this test is like? That might give us some clue as to what we're looking at. Well, he faxed me their scoring rubric, and guess what? It's just like the scoring rubric we had for class. They'll have two subjective readers. If they can't agree, they'll bring in a third subjective reader. If they find any sensitive answers to sensitive questions, they will refer them to the proper social agency.
Well, now, have we been able to get a copy of the test itself?
The proficiency exam? Not yet.
I see. So you can't get a copy of the exam. You can't find out how your child did.
Exactly.
And yet this is being used by government to create a dossier on the child, isn't it, basically?
Yes, exactly. And luckily, he went to the Supreme Court last Tuesday, the Ohio State Supreme Court. And they won't rule probably for another 2 or 3 weeks. But the judge's response was such that he was saying, wait a minute, people can even view the SAT test. Why are you not letting this father view something his daughter's? They're supposed to sign a non-disclosure form like we were supposed to do for the class test under threat of, you know, jail if he reveals anything on the test. Same type of thing we were having here in California. So we're really waiting to see what's going to happen there. Then I was in West Virginia and meeting with several state legislators. And I said, you know, you guys have a proficiency exam here in the state of West Virginia. Have you ever asked to see it? And they said, no. And I said, maybe you should do that. Because I said, in California, when Senator Leonard was asked to vote on the class test for funding, he said, no, I don't want to do this until I've looked at the test. And he was told he could not view the test.
That he was going to be asked to vote for.
That he was going to be asked to vote for.
That reminds me of when the California Medical Association was going to put the initiative on the ballot that would have brought socialized medicine in, but they kept telling us it was to fight socialized medicine, and they wouldn't let the doctors see this, what they were going to vote for. They said, well, you can trust us, you know. You don't have to see it. And it was the most incredible thing in the world. And they do this, of course, with the legislators. I know Ron Paul was saying that they slammed a bill through Congress and they wouldn't let any congressman either see the bill, look at the bill, or know what they were voting on. And they wouldn't even allow him 1 minute to say, what are we voting on, something we haven't seen?
That's right.
And so if they have nothing to conceal, why are they playing these tricks? And, of course, what they do is they use the so-called democratic process for their own objectives and goals. And most people go along because you don't want to be seen as a troublemaker.
That's right. Heaven forbid that we should create any waves, huh? Or read and know what we're passing.
Right.
So anyway, these legislators in West Virginia were going to ask and see if they could view their own proficiency exam to find out what they've got there. And people, it's important to understand that way back in 1993, the New Standards Project, you know, Mr. Mark Tucker's wonderful project, they even were talking way back then that our objective is to create a national examination system, not a single exam, but a whole system, and that's what our California Learning Assessment System was, the class test. Two main components, a performance examination and a cumulative accomplishments component, which is basically your judgment, your teamwork, you know, that's sitting around in your groups, how you're a team worker and problem solving and all that good garbage. So they were even planning these national tests as far back as 1993. Now, people wonder, you know, we hear so much about performance-based assessments and performance-based tests, and that's where we're going. In fact, in some states now, the students are required to pass performance-based assessment tests before they can graduate from high school. And one of the most popular ones that they can do is the work keys. And I happen to have a copy in front of me that they hand out. I don't know why they give this out, because it's absolutely ridiculous. This is for high school graduation. I'm sitting here looking at a sandwich order form. It's got a man's name on it, a phone number, a pickup time, and then the type of sandwich he ordered. The students are required to answer a multiple choice question, whether the man's ordering ham, Swiss, and rye, or on rye, what time he's supposed to pick it up. That's one of the test questions.
What's that have to do with anything? Are we training them to be work for a pizza delivery place?
Well, and I'm gonna read you something from an actual 16-year-old girl's testimony. Over a 10-hour period, they had to take this, and Kansas is one of the states that requires work keys for graduation. Now listen to what she says. An audio tape of a phone conversation was played for us. We were to take down the message in detail, taking phone messages. Now that's a good thing to test high school students on. Everyone I talked to thought it was stupid. Then a videotape was played showing us how to transfer a phone call. We were instructed to press flash, the extension number, then flash again. Our multiple choice question was, after pressing flash and the extension number, what button do you press? At that point, I was beginning to wonder exactly why I had gotten out of bed. I could have taken this assessment and my sleep. And then the last one was, then came the floor mopping question. We were instructed on video how to mop a floor. Then we were given a scenario in which the person mopping did something wrong. We were supposed to say what went wrong. No, I'm not kidding.
At 16 years old.
16 years old.
And instead of learning geometry and trigonometry, why they're learning about floor mopping, well, you can see what they're training our young people for. After all, Bill Clinton has said a lot of people are going to lose jobs with NAFTA, and he's going to appropriate $4 billion to get them retrained, and they'll probably be very good at what they're being schooled in and on mopping floors and things.
Exactly. And, you know, the problem is, if you have a school that is teaching high academic standards, they don't do well on these types of assessments. There is a school, Ballard High School, in Jefferson County in Kentucky. 95% of the students that graduated from that school went on to college. Then in 1993, the federal government came in, and they said, you have to take assessment tests. The student body failed the assessment test so badly that the entire high school was declared a school in crisis, and all of the students were at-risk students.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. There's a recent analysis of colleges, and most students, every year, of course, they test them when they're going into college, and every year they become less and less and less capable of entering college because they don't have the basic school, the basic skills in English or in composition or in spelling. They're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Now, that couldn't happen accidentally. Somebody out there knows exactly what they're doing.
Well, a 1995 congressional report actually said that 66% of 17-year-olds do not read at grade level. That's horrifying.
Well, of course, if you're already trying to pursue excellence, it's horrifying. But if you really wanted to deliberately dumb down a generation of our youth, you couldn't do possibly a better job than our educational leaders are doing today. And the thing is that they know what they're doing, and yet they say, oh, if you just give us more money, if we just had smaller class sizes, if we just had the parents involved, why, this would all be solved.
Right, and they don't mean any of it.
Of course not, but of course they cannot have the American public understand that we are under attack today by an educational administration that has an agenda, and that is the destruction of America as we know it.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take our first break for the hour, and when we get back, we'll open up the lines here at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'll tell you how to get hold of Karen, and because she has a wealth of information. So don't even think about changing that dial. Remember, 464-8295, 888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we have to remind you this program is listener-supported, and if you agree with our message and would like to get in touch with us, why, you can call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. Let me repeat that. It's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. Our society, our future, our freedoms are under attack today. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Now, this program is being heard nationwide and really throughout the world on the audio net. And if you know people in other areas who need to get this information, it's your obligation to call them. And if they have a sophisticated computer, of course, they can pull us down at on simply www.audiocentral.com. And, of course, our afternoon program is available from 7:30 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 to 5 Western Time on WHRI at 5.745 megahertz. And, of course, we have the access to the entire world through the network we have. And, of course, we need your help to get people listening across America. So write to people in other areas. Tell them they need to begin listening to these programs. We arrange for the Internet access thanks to support from some of our friends and from the people who are really controlaudiocentral.com. And, of course, you'll find some fascinating programs, but you can hear Radio Liberty 3 hours a day, 4 to 5 Western Time, Pacific Time, and then 8 to 10, or, of course, on the East Coast, it's 7 to 8 Eastern Time, and, of course, I guess it would be 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning. A little bit late, but, of course, anything that's worth really worthwhile is worthwhile staying up for. And certainly our last hour with Ambrose Evans Pritchard, this hour with Karen Holgate, are excellent programs, and you'll learn things here that you will not learn elsewhere. So if you're searching and help us to get that word out across the country, both for the shortwave and for the audio net, for the live audio programming. And, of course, remember, again, that's audiocentral.com. That's all it is, www.audiocentral.com, and pull down Radio Liberty's webpage. Very soon we are hoping to have so you can simply dial in our own webpage, which is a little complicated, but it will be at that point, www.radioliberty.com. Well, I don't even think about changing that dial. We'll be back in just a moment, and we have Bob on the line. Okay, Dr. Stan back here, and we have Karen Holgate on the line. Karen, how can people get in touch with you?
They can call me at 760-360-9949.
Okay, that's 760-360-9949.
Right, or they can email me.
Okay.
At kholg10296@aol.com.
Okay, that's KHOLG, that's for Karen Holgate, 10296@aol.com.
Right.
And you want to email her? Why, get in touch with Karen, because she has a wealth of information. And right now we have Bob on the line. Hi, Bob. Question or comment?
Yeah, hi. And hi to Karen there.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, it is incredible the degree to which we seem to beg to be told. And it is stunning as I get older. The word education stems from the word educo, which means to bring out, which is, of course, the exact opposite of the trend that we're seeing.
Right.
Which is this propagandizing that we're all out of the loop.
Exactly.
I think that's the key. I think that there is a fear of accountability as individuals.
Okay, so what was the point you wanted to make?
Well, I think that is one point I'd like to
all
make right,
right
there.
And
it is stunning the degree to which one will hear, "I don't have the time," in regards to our response, what should be our response as adult citizens to society around us.
Okay, let's get Karen's comment on that. Karen, do you have a comment
on
that?
Well, you know, he brought up an excellent point. If you go back to a dictionary, 40s, 50s, 60s, even the 70s, and you look up to educate, you see that it's to impart knowledge, you know, to it's talking about academics and that type of thing. If you go to the AOL and you pull up their current definition of to educate, they talk about training, especially in skills, dealing with interpersonal relationships, attitudes, values. They've changed the definition of to educate. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
And I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Well, they do. And if we don't wake up, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher one day, and she said, Karen, that's never going to happen because that's against the law. And I just happened to have, God works in wonderful ways, I just happened to have my briefcase with me, and I reached in and I pulled out a law that was pending in the California State Legislature, and I opened it up and I said, right here is the law that's going to change that law you say you have protection under. And her mouth just dropped. She couldn't believe it. And I said, don't you understand that's what these people do? They change laws.
They change the laws.
And if we don't follow them, we're guilty of turning our children over to them.
Amen. Anything else you'd like to say, Bob?
Well, I think the theme is important. There is this fear of accountability as individuals, and I think a lot of it has to do with an admission of imperfection as individuals. So these words that get tossed around like teamwork, and there's a place for teamwork, mm-hmm. right? But when it becomes let's all get bland and agree, and this word consensus is being raised to some level of sacrosanctness. Okay, it's stunning. And then, you know, key opinion leaders. I heard this phrase recently, key opinion leaders, right? Who are going to provide us with the platform for our consensus, for teamwork.
That's right. Those are your change agents.
What's that now?
Those are your change agents and your facilitators.
Yes. Yeah, it's stunning. It should be obvious. And at that point, I'll let it go. Thank you very much for letting me get on the air.
Thanks so much,
Bob.
You bet. Okay, fine. And that was Bob from Santa Cruz, and our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there listening to us across America, we'd love to hear from you. We'd like your input if you agree, if you disagree, because that's what talk radio is really all about. Well, Karen, what is really so frightening is that so few parents really seem to be concerned about this. See, they seem to think that we can just turn our children over to the schools and that relieves them of the responsibility for what is happening. And, of course, you know, then when the child gets a little older and gets into rebellion and, parents don't understand why, children don't listen to their parents anymore. They don't understand why the children have a different worldview, why their children are so concerned about the environment and global warming, why they're so concerned about population, why they really believe in the United Nations, why they can't read or write or think effectively.
See, you're exactly right. And Bob brought up the point, too, about the attitudes and the values and reaching consensus. What people don't understand, remember when I talked about what they want to do? They want a managed economy. They want control of the schools. And they want government-dictated values, attitudes, and behaviors. And that's for everyone. In fact, Mark Tucker, in his famous letter to Hillary Clinton in 1992, on page 18, said radical changes in values, attitudes, and beliefs are necessary to move any combination of these agendas. And in 1996, the Department of Education issued a report called, Study of Curriculum Reform. And on page 9, it talks about the reforms that we're talking about, and it says, barriers to change, the beliefs and values on the part of everyone involved. Later in the page, it says, teacher and administrator beliefs and values present a second major barrier to change. Our attitudes and values have got to be changed. One of the ways they do that are through the parent centers, through encouraging parental involvement. Something that I always try to warn parents about are those compacts that are coming home from school. If your child comes home with a compact or a contract, do not sign it. It is not mandatory that you sign it if your school is a Title I school. It is mandatory by the IASA, the Improving America Schools Act, that the school make a compact or contract available to the parent. But the school the notices that I get phone calls from all over the nation are that the notices going home to parents do not tell them that they don't have to sign those contracts. But what is also happening is that in Virginia, a daughter brought home her compact for her daddy to sign, and daddy said, I'm not going to sign that, which he's a very smart daddy. And she says, but daddy, if you don't, they're going to fine you $50. In Florida, a mother signed a contract. She's on kidney dialysis, and she signed the compact. Well, she missed too many PTA meetings because of her kidney problems, and her son was kicked out of the school because she didn't live up to her contract.
Well, that would be wonderful. The best thing that could happen if we got our kids out of the public school.
Yeah, really. But you see where they're going, and if people listening have seen the compacts come home with their children, some of the compacts sound very benign. It's a contract between a parent, the student, and the teacher, usually. Sometimes the principal signs. But basically it says that I will help my child get to school on time, make sure he sleeps, make sure he has a quiet place to do his homework, blah, 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 that the student will get to school on time. Some of them are very benign sounding. The problem is when you sign a contract with the school, you willingly accept them as an equal partner with you in raising your child. And is that really what we want to do? Do we want to give away our parental rights so easily? If they want to send home a sheet saying, we recommend these things, that this will help your child perform better, that's great.
Sure, but why do you have to promise the school?
That's right. And I got to tell you, when they start fining people and when they start doing things, and there is one contract from the Sacramento area where they are requiring parents to volunteer 40 to 50 hours per year at school, and supposedly these are to enhance the learning capabilities of your own child, but one of the ways these parents can earn their hours is by babysitting the children of employees at the school.
Doesn't that make you just feel good, warm, and fuzzy all over? Let's go to Charmaine here. Charmaine.
Hi, Dr. Sound, thank you. Thank you for what you just did going down south and everything. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Charmaine. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. How are you doing?
Just fine.
I want you to know that since I wrote to you last, it's been a while now, but I'm homeschooling my boy.
Good.
He's 12, and I just got so disgusted with everything that was going on in the public schools and never seeing any of his books or anything. But I had to, I didn't have to, but what I did was I enrolled him in this alternative educational program here in Salinas. It's independent home study, so we have to register at the school, and we do use some of the state text, but we have a lot more freedom with them.
Right.
And it's like I told, the first thing in the reading assignment is for my boy to read his Bible every day. And I wrote on there, on the activity sheet, that God is allowed in our home, and I don't care what Pete Wilson says, I put that on every one of them.
Good for you.
For the Coom folders. And I have, the teacher comes every week, and I've got her listening to Radio Liberty, and I gave her your pornography in the schools and careers to work failure thing to read, and the Goals 2000 book that I can't remember who did it.
No, that you mean Pamela Hobb Hoffaker's book?
I don't remember who did it.
Or the great big thick white one?
No, it's the one I got from Southwest Radio Church.
All right, fine.
Anyways, but I'm working on her, and I don't think she's too aware of what's going on, even though she says she's a Christian. She's not. It's like when she walks in here and she sees the mass amount of literature, it's kind of like future shock for her. I think she's getting more of an education coming over here than my son is.
All right. Now, what is the teacher teaching your son?
Well, what she does is she checks his work.
All right. Fine. Well,
and gives me some tips. And I told her, don't even walk in the door with any surveys. I won't do them.
Okay. Fine. Anything else?
Here's a question I want to ask. On this careers to act thing, no, the certificate of mastery, what is the latest on that?
They're moving ahead with them. One of the things that is starting to occur is that big business is now agreeing to start looking at a student's high school transcript and start checking for what they're saying, the diplomas, but what they're really doing is they're going to start looking for the skill certificates and hiring only those students with them. And
the skill certificate is a certificate of mastery, isn't it?
That's right. Some states are calling them skill certificates. Some call them certificate of mastery. It doesn't matter because what will happen, and I'm glad Charmaine called because it reminded me that whether you're homeschooling your child, whether you've got them in a private secular school or Christian school, eventually those children will also have to come in line with the federal standards.
Well, I hope
because if they don't, they won't get their certificate of mastery, and they won't be able to go on to college or get a job.
I think I can teach my son how to mop a floor pretty good at home.
Well, I know, but we hope he's going to do a lot better than that. anything else, Charmaine?
No. Oh, God bless you, Dr. Stan. You too, Karen.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Well, Charmaine kind of took away my steam. I was going to ask how this would impact homeschoolers. Any of the laws that are coming down or...
It will impact you because if you teach your child up to academic excellence,
uh-huh,
and he hasn't been taught how to work well in a group and how to answer the questions in the politically correct manner,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't exhibit the correct attitudes, thoughts, and behaviors, then he won't be able to get his certificate of mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Tucker says that if they don't have their certificates, they will be kicked out into what are called youth centers. Some states already have them, and some call them learning labs, or doesn't matter. They're all the same thing. And what Mr. Tucker says is that they will be living in poverty even with a job.
Hmm. Is there any time frame figured out for this?
Yes.
I mean, it's not totally enacted right now.
No, it's not. And what's happening is, of course, they're pushing it in the public schools first.
Mm-hmm.
But I am seeing more and more Christian schools are starting to take Title I funding. When they do that, they're buying all the federal mandates.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, compacts are starting to show up in Christian schools.
Mm-hmm.
Values clarification, death education. I've had parents call me in tears saying, I thought I could send my child to a Christian school. And now they're doing the same thing there. They won't let me opt my child out. What do I do now?
Well, I think the thing that we have to point out is that the forces of darkness, and they really are, there's a spiritual battle behind this whole thing,
yes,
as you well know, Jennifer,
mm-hmm,
and I know Karen does. They don't intend that anybody will escape this. I mean, homeschooling,
right,
will help for the time being. But eventually they're going to even force the homeschoolers to give their children this type of indoctrination that will make them fit into this wonderful planned society that these wicked, wicked, wicked people have planned for us. That's why the battle really has to be to educate people and educate them now as to the frightening implications of what lies ahead if they don't get involved.
Right. Well, I know by talking to several people that they've done their indoctrination well, because most people tell me that if my kids aren't in preschool or in a group with a bunch of children, that they're missing out. They won't know how to function. They won't know how to interact. And yet I grew up the oldest of six kids, and I knew how to interact with my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, what did we do when we lived on farms miles and miles and miles away from other families?
You see, the whole thing, the answer to that, Jennifer, is what about the peer pressure for drugs? Is that what you really want for your kids?
No,
what about the peer pressure for violence? What about the peer pressure for sex? Some of the most polite, intelligent, stimulating young people I've ever met have been homeschooled by a loving mother who raised her children up in the ways of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we plan to do with ours, but
I know you do.
It's just quite irritating sometimes.
Well, but the thing is, these people have been brainwashed, and in a kindly and loving manner, you have to just begin to get them, begin to think, look at our educational system. Is it a success or is it a failure?
Right.
And what's happening to the SAT scores? What's happening to our young people as far as, their attitude towards God, family, and country? Is that what you really want? or can we improve on what they're doing in the public schools today? That's all I know to tell you.
Right.
Don't get discouraged. Just give you the information out.
Oh, we're doing that.
One
last question,
okay,
though. Regarding like what Charmaine was saying, because I talked with someone this evening, in California, if I were to register with the state and go through the public school system, whereas I had someone come to my home and check on my children's work, would I be subject to all of the public schools laws or anything that they would want to hand down to their own students? Would I still be subject under that?
I am not real sure.
Okay.
I would be very, very careful, though.
Yeah, I would, too, because they will come in and check.
I think that any time you let anybody from the government into your home with the idea that they're there to help,
right,
you may very well be, it's like the camel's nose in the proverbial tent. Pretty soon, the whole camel's in the tent.
Yeah,
right.
I wouldn't let anybody from the school system into my home, quite frankly.
And I agree with you. Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jeanette.
By the way,
here.
I do want to finish and answer her one question, because she asked about a time frame. Most of the school-to-work legislation that I've seen in most states says that the plan will be fully implemented by the year 2001 or 2002.
Okay, fine. Well, that gives us a little time to wake people up. So don't despair, Jennifer, because remember, we are involved in a spiritual battle. It's being played out on an educational battlefield, but it still is a spiritual battle. And we've got Jeanette on the line. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. Well, you really struck a chord with me a little while ago.
Well, we must have, because we've had so many calls here, you know, and we appreciate hearing from each and every one of you. But what chord did we strike?
Well, I just couldn't resist calling and making this comment. When you talked about the compacts being sent home to parents, when I was in grammar school in the 50s, and if the nuns had sent home one of those compacts of my mother, I swear she and her friends would have marched down to that school and said, "Excuse me, don't you think we know how to raise our children?"
Exactly.
We make sure they do their homework, they get to bed early at night. And I think parents ought to do that today. Form a group and go say, "Excuse me, we know our responsibility." And if there are individual parents who are, you know, not doing what they ought to do, then they are the ones to be dealt with, not all the parents as a group.
Well, you know, what's happened is so many parents have been conditioned that they don't know how to parent their children.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and so they think they need to do this, or they don't know they can stand up. I had a mother call me from back east, and she was looking for information for parental rights.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't care if your state has a law giving you parental rights or not. God gave you the right to raise your children. Go to the school, say, "This is my child. My child can't do that."
Yeah.
"Don't do that for my child." And I said, "And then let them come after you. You call me. We'll get you on national radio. We'll get you on, we'll, you know." The parents have got to start standing up for themselves and for their children.
Yeah, exactly. I have an application here to probably hopefully tutor at one of our Catholic schools. And in the back it has a whole list of their goals and I guess it's like a mission statement, but one of them was to respect the parents' rights.
Oh, what a revolutionary thought!
Intense.
You know,
how
can we possibly allow the parent to raise their child? Don't you know, Jeanette, it takes a village.
Oh God!
I'm sorry.
Please don't get me started again.
Okay, anything else, Jeanette?
No, thank you.
Okay, fine.
Thanks
very much. Well, Karen, you seem to have gotten many people concerned. And who do we have on the line here?
Hello, this is Tom here.
Hi, Tom. A question or comment?
Well, you're wondering why people are so apathetic or complacent.
Yeah, they've been drinking too much fluoridated water a bit.
I think a big part of it is the educational system that we've had in place for all these years, because I think part of the thing it is it makes people into complacent robotic dummies. You have the authoritarian structure of the state dictating what our education is, and I think a large part of why people are so apathetic has been our educational system. It's a self-perpetuating disease.
I think you're absolutely right. What's your take on that, Karen?
Well, and not only that, you're right, but even beyond that, is every time a parent does complain,
They marginalize them. They say, well, you're the only parent to complain. Nobody else does. So, in other words, what's wrong with you? Now, they may have had 50,000 other phone calls, but they're going to tell you you're the only one to complain.
But you see, Karen, when they do that, they become liars. And the whole concept of what's happening in our educational system today is to deceive the parent. And when you have an educational establishment intent upon deceiving parents, then every parent should say, what else are you doing dishonestly? And that, I think, is an excellent question that every person listening to this audience should ask. If you have children or your grandchildren, you need to get them out of public education.
That's right. And, I'm going to give you a quick quote here from a man by the name of Dr. Sidney Simon, who's a lecturer and an educator. And listen to this. We do not need any more preaching about right or wrong. The old thou shalt not simply are not relevant. Values clarification is a method for teachers to change the values of children without getting caught.
Without getting caught. Tom, what else would you like to comment on?
Just thank you very much.
Okay.
Very valuable information. And I think we have to recognize, just look upon school now as a mind control program.
That's exactly what it is. We have change agents working in the school. Thanks, Tom.
And you know, I do want to put out that this is not a condemnation of teachers. I know a lot of teachers who are fighting against this tooth and nail to the detriment of their own jobs. And they're being mandated to do it. Teachers who last year said, well, Karen, I'm not doing that. My classroom are calling me this year and saying they're putting pressure on me. If I don't do it this year, I'm going to lose my job.
Sure, and then you lose your pension, you lose your health insurance.
You lose everything. And yet the good teachers, as soon as they can draw retirement, are quitting by the drove.
Well, they see, that's why these advertisements, you watch television now and they say, you know, don't you want to do something really important? Become a teacher. And the reason is because all the good teachers are getting out and they want to bring in all these people who don't know what it's about and brainwash them into becoming robots to push these, I like to call them fascistic or remolding ideas, upon the minds of our youth. And they have, and if anybody's listening who sees television at all, if you're watching television rather than this program, shame on you, but listen to our program. But if you watch television, you'll see they have to begin recruiting teachers because the good ones are quitting.
Mm-hmm. And we only have a window of time because
Amen.
As the children who are coming up now start being trained as teachers, they're going to have been schooled in this new thought process.
Well, we have a window, though, and that's the important thing. We have a voice, and that's what we have to exploit. If you're out there in the listening audience and you want to get hold of Karen, her telephone number is 760-360-9949. That's 760-360-9949. And, of course, her email is KHOLG, that's for Karen Holgate, 10296 at, is that at AOL.com?
Right.
AOL.com. So you can get hold of her. If you didn't get that number, you can certainly call Kevin on the board. He'll get it to you. We're just about out of time. Do you have some parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yes, I would. I would like to encourage parents to stand up for your children, stand up for your rights. Don't cave in. Go down, let the school know that you are a very real presence in your child's life. Talk to your child, find out what's going on in the classroom, and don't give up hope, because I've seen God perform some miraculous things in this battle, and I believe in victory, because our God is a victorious God.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Karen, and please keep in touch with us, and we always look forward to having you as a guest here on Radio Liberty.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Okay, fine. Well, let me just close with the words of Thomas Jefferson. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberties of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. And with that thought, let me encourage you to pray for America. Pray for revival in America. Try to bring people to an understanding of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're involved. And then pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying good night and May the Lord be with you.